So hey guys, so man, I've had a really cool week. You know, last Sunday during the nurture hour, we started talking about the whole counsel of God, and we started talking about grace and obedience, and it got me thinking. And then I had a meeting with Teresa and Roger Sherman, which used to pastor here, and they got to tell me about the history of the church. And it was incredible. Also, we got to do, anybody go to the National Day of Prayer? Amen. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. And we got to, you know, mingle around with the commissioners and kind of some of the local politicians and stuff. But there, it's good to know this, that your county authority, your county politicians are serving the Lord. They believe in God and they believe in serving God. Amen. So we have a bunch of men and women of God inside of our courthouse. Amen. And that's wonderful. Praise God. Yes. But God was been showing me something. He was showing me something about the gift of obedience. I know people don't like this one. We're talking about obedience. But I'm talking about how one yes can bless generations. Amen? Now listen, before we get started, I don't want to sit up here today and act like that obedience replaces grace. Do you see what I'm saying? But I believe that obedience is the fruit of grace. That we're not saved because we obey. But when we obey because we have been saved. We obey because we've been loved, called, forgiven. And more importantly, you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Yes. See, grace will bring you into the family, but obedience reveals the family, what you look like. You know what I'm saying? The family, what am I looking for? Reveals the heart of being transformed. Sometimes we don't realize how much one yes can impact years of generations until someone else is standing in the very soil where you planted a yes. When you're living inside of someone else's blessing, something that someone else helped create. And let me say, everybody who's sitting in chairs today, you're standing in someone else's yes. Amen. I was told a little story about an imperfect man named J.D. Sherman. Anybody else imperfect? Me. Yeah, I am too. J.D. Sherman obeyed the call of God. He started a church. He planted a church. He planted seeds into his son, Pastor Roger. Pastor Roger's obedience helped create an atmosphere where Pastor Gary could encounter healing, also a calling in his obedience. Helped open the door to form an answer for my own calling. And I don't want to make this about me. But I'm saying, and through that, the Lord began showing me something much bigger than my own story. That none of us arrived where we're at by ourselves. That we've all been shaped by who stayed faithful when it would have been easier to quit. We're all benefiting from prayers we didn't pray. Sacrifices we didn't make. And battles that we didn't have to fight ourselves. Someone stayed obedient long enough for us to encounter what God wanted us to do in our lives. And that's why obedience is never personal. That it carries influence beyond the moment. It reaches further than we can see. It's generational. And many times, the full effect of obedience will outlive you. I believe the Lord has been revealing something deeper to all of us more than just do what God says. There's more. Because when many people hear the word obedience, what they're hearing is rules. They're thinking about pressure and restriction. Sometimes they think about religion. But biblical obedience is not God trying to diminish your life. Biblical obedience is God bringing your life into the alignment of His word for His design. Obedience is not bondage when it flows from relationship. It becomes surrender, which is born out of trust. A servant obeys because he has to. But a son obeys because he trusts the heart of the Father. That's the kind of obedience that God's desiring from each of us. Not obedience that's driven by fear. Not that type that's motivated by pride that says, I can obey better than you. And not the one that's doing it to impress people. I'm talking about the obedience that flows from love for the Father. Jesus said himself, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. That means that obedience is not disconnected from love. It becomes one of the clearest demonstrations that you love him. See, love never changes. If it never changes how we live, it's just a shallow feeling. But love that transforms our life becomes a decision that's made visible. Come on. And here's what I want you to understand today. That your obedience has the ability to outlive you. A single act of surrender can open doors that you'll never be able to walk through. That one moment of faithfulness will become part of somebody else's breakthrough 60 years later. Do you understand what I'm saying? Someone else taught us truth. Someone modeled consistency. Someone kept serving through disappointment, remained faithful in hidden places and seasons that seemed difficult. Someone answered the call of God when the cost was high, and they obeyed, and they encountered Jesus. They encountered God, and through that had the ability to help change us. Now the responsibility moves to us. Because obedience is not only what about God wants to do in you, it's what he wants to release through you. See, the deeper question isn't, can I still receive grace when I fall? Of course. Listen to me. Grace is real. Thank God for grace. Thank God for mercy. Thank God that Jesus saved sinners and he loved us when we were still yet sinners. But maturity, a mature person wants to ask a deeper question. What kind of legacy is my life building? What will still remain because I stayed faithful? And who may encounter God because I chose to be obedient? This is what we're talking about today. Obedience as a gift for future generations. Let's turn to our Bibles. Who's got their Bible? Amen. Let's start bringing our Bibles to church. We're taking away the screen. I'm just joking. We're going to 1 John 14:15. When you get there, say amen. 14:15. See, obedience is love made visible. Before we get into this, we have to understand that Jesus is speaking to his disciples before the cross. John 14:15. Oh, sorry. Jesus is preparing them for his departure. The disciples' hearts are troubled, but they are promised the Holy Spirit at this time. So when Jesus is speaking about obedience, he's not talking like a harsh ruler placing impossible demands on them. He's speaking as the Son of God, calling his followers into a deeper relationship. This is not legalism. This is love. If you love me, keep my commandments. See, that verse is simple, but it carries a tremendous depth. Does it say if you want me to love you, obey me? Oh, some people like that. Or what about, can I earn salvation through obedience? No, it says, if you love me. And see, that changes everything. Obedience, we have to understand, is not the root of salvation, but it's the response of a transformed heart. See, grace reaches us. Mercy reaches us first. The cross reaches us first. But once grace changes you, your desires in your heart have to start changing too. See, at first, obedience may be difficult because the flesh wants to resist surrender. But spiritual maturity changes the posture of your heart. See, eventually, obedience becomes less about an obligation to God and more about trust. Do you trust God? Do you really trust him? You begin to realize that God is not withholding life from you. He's leading you into life. See, the world often treats freedom as the ability to do whatever you want. But biblical freedom is becoming free enough to fully follow God. We can hand over it all to him. That's why people can say, God knows my heart. He knows my heart. But they're resisting his word. But the heart that truly loves God does not resist his word. See, the heart that loves God gets molded by his word. It welcomes transformation. See, grace rescues us when we fail. Guess what? I'm going to tell you guys a secret. You're all going to fail. And if you didn't know, I'll fail you too. I ain't perfect. Neither are you. I'm just another human. We're going through this journey together, amen? So if you ever thought I wasn't going to fail you, I'm sorry. I won't do it on purpose. I won't try to, but eventually I will. And guess what? There's grace for me too. But grace will teach us to stop making peace with what God is trying to change. I can't sit in it. I can't sit in it because the Holy Spirit's residing in me and I want to be obedient. Grace is not permission to stay unchanged forever. Amen. Grace gives us the power to grow. See, I'm never going to preach obedience in a way that removes grace. I can't do it. But I'm never going to preach grace in a way that removes surrender. Because genuine love will affect your behavior. If you really love God, something's going to change. See, if I trust him, I'm going to follow him. And if I believe that he is good, I'm going to stop treating his commandments like burdens. If I love him, if you love him, your life should reflect him. Amen? Amen. So we have to ask ourselves, does your devotion stop at emotion? Or is your love for Jesus shaping the way that you live? Because obedience is love becoming visible. Your obedience to God is the way that your love becomes visible. My first point is obedience begins with hearing God clearly. See, before obedience can start to happen, something else has to happen first. You have to know how to listen. See, listening has to happen. You have to be able to hear the voice of God. How are you supposed to be directed by the voice of God if you can't hear the voice of God? So you can't follow a voice that you refuse to hear. And every generation needs people who know how to hear the voice of God. People who know how to pray. People knew how to slow down long enough to discern. People knew how the difference between emotion, pressure, and genuine instruction from the Lord. Because obedience begins long before an action ever happens. It begins with surrender. It begins with your surrender right now. Sometimes we ask God to bless our plans. But these are plans that were never his. There are people who are active spiritually, but they're disconnected relationally with God. They're busy, but they're not aligned. They're religious, but they're not yielded. The scripture is full of them. Obedience is not just doing something that is good. True obedience is doing something that God actually told you to do. That's why discernment matters. A good opportunity can still distract you from a God assignment. Not every door that opens up comes from God. The enemy can open up doors too. The enemy loves to distract. He loves to deceive. Not every emotional reaction is direction from God. Sometimes the holiest thing you can do is stop moving long enough to hear clearly. Sit down and ask God, God, is this from you? See, prayer is not just presenting requests to heaven. Prayer is where our heart becomes quiet enough for God to correct us, for God to redirect us, for God to shape us. You got to get to this place where you want God to do it. When people fully hear God, their lives begin carrying weight because now they're no longer living only by instinct and ambition or emotion. They're living by conviction. And conviction produces stability. That's the kind of obedience that impacts generations. Because it creates people who can be trusted with spiritual responsibility. You got to be able to hear the voice of God. If we move to 1 Samuel 15:22. That's 1 Samuel 15:22. Yes. 15:22. See, obedience is better than religious performance. Where we're at in 1 Samuel 15, King Saul was given a direct command from God. Anybody remember this? Through Samuel. But what did Saul do? Saul partially obeyed. He followed part of the instruction while preserving what God told him to destroy. Then what does Saul do? Saul tries to make his compromise sound spiritual. He claimed the animals. He said, listen, Samuel, I saved these animals to sacrifice to the Lord. And that type of comment's dangerous because Saul covered disobedience with religious language. See, it says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, some of you guys, I need you to get this in your spirit today. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey is better than sacrifice. That verse isn't teaching us that sacrifice has no value, because God established sacrifice under the Old Testament. But sacrifice was never intended to replace surrender. Saul wanted to worship while still maintaining control. He wanted a spiritual appearance without complete obedience, and God rejected it. Samuel said to obey. Listen to me. To obey is better than sacrifice. God was exposing something deeper in Saul's actions. He was exposing Saul's heart. Because partial obedience, delayed obedience, guess what? It's disobedience. And a lot of times people often disguise control with spirituality. Let me tell you, it's possible to sing passionately while resisting conviction. It's possible to preach while ignoring correction. It's possible to serve while remaining privately stubborn. God does not only examine what we do, He examines what we refuse to surrender. And that's why obedience matters so deeply. Obedience reveals trust. When I obey God, even when I don't fully understand it, I'm declaring something, that His wisdom is greater than mine, that His perspective is higher than mine, that His character is greater than mine, even when His instruction stretches me. See, our culture loves to constantly teach people to protect comfort, but the kingdom teaches surrender. It's something more than comfort. A lot of times, guess what? The Spirit's called the comforter for a reason, because you're going to have to call on Him because you're going to get a little uncomfortable. Amen? And if you're in a season where you're comfortable, enjoy it while it lasts. Because I'm telling you, I'm not saying that to curse you. I'm saying God's going to take you to the next level. Amen? Because there's new levels. Hallelujah. See, Saul wanted to keep part of what God said. And many believers are still wrestling with that same issue. Listen, God, I'll give you this area, but you can't have this one. See, I'm going to worship you, God, publicly, but I'm not forgiving anybody in private, God. Lord, I'll follow you where it feels safe. Come on. But I'm not going to go where you want me to sacrifice something, Lord. But obedience is not measured by the areas that we gladly surrender. It's revealed in the places where obedience costs you something. And often, those moments begin to define you and mature you spiritually. My second point is obedience isn't proven by words. It's proven by surrender. See, Saul said the right things, but his actions exposed his heart. That's why obedience carries so much weight. Because obedience turns your belief into action. Faith eventually has to move somewhere. Not because works can save us, but because living faithfully produces a response in you. The next generation doesn't only inherit what we preach, it inherits what we model. You have to understand that your obedience is modeling something to the next generation. People around us need more than just sermons about faithfulness. They need examples of consistency. This is why discipleship is important. This is when they say, hey, go outside and preach the gospel and use words if you need to. People need to see obedience in action. They need to see people who remain devoted when life becomes difficult. Anybody got any problems in their life? Me too. Amen. We got to be models of what it's like to walk through these valleys and trust God. We need to see believers who trust God when it's painful. See, our children are learning from our priorities. Our church is learning from our posture. Young believers are learning from our consistency, and future leaders are learning from what we normalize and model, and whether you realize it or not. I'm telling you, whether anybody here thinks it's true or not, I'm telling you it's true. That your obedience is teaching other people what you think God is worth. See, if we only obey when it is easy, that's not called obedience, that's called convenience. See, if we only obey when there's applause, that's not called obedience, that's called performance. But if we remain faithful in hidden places, I'm talking about places that nobody sees, people learn reverence. If we continue serving through the hardship, people learn endurance. If we continue and not get prideful and want revenge, people learn Christ-likeness. And that kind of obedience leaves an imprint on people when they go, I don't know how you're doing it, Josh. I don't understand. Everything's falling apart around you, but you just come in with joy. It's through obedience. I don't know how you do it, how you keep serving God, because I'm being obedient. Amen. And there's a reward for that. Long after sermons are forgotten, people remember examples. People don't know care about how much you know till they know about how much you care. They need an example. They remember humility. See, people remember integrity. They remember consistency. And let me tell you, they remember the opposite of those things too. They remember when you stayed faithful when nobody was watching. And that's why obedience is powerful. Because surrender preaches even when words are absent. Let's go over to Hebrews 11:8, please. Amen. Obedience walks before it sees everything. Hebrews 11 reminds us that faith is not passive, that faith responds. Abel offered, Noah built, Moses left Egypt, Israel crossed the sea, and Abraham went. God called Abraham to leave what was familiar and move towards a promise that he could not fully see yet. Let me tell you something. Abraham didn't have every single detail of where he was going. You know what he had? He had a word from God. That's it. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Come on. Abraham obeyed before clarity was complete. He didn't move because everything made sense. I promise you, it didn't make sense to him. And he's going, Lord, you want me to pick up everything and go where? Go this way. See, that's the tension of faith. Sometimes God will give you direction before he gives you an explanation. Sometimes your understanding only grows through your obedience. And a lot of times people remain stuck because they're waiting on certainty God never promised. God's not promising you certainty. He's asking you to trust him. You can find your certainty in that trust if you want. See, but faith, what true faith is trusting God enough to move before the picture is completely visible. And let me tell you something. Abraham's obedience affected more than Abraham. Here's the picture. Your obedience is affecting more than you. It's affected generations after him. His obedience became connected to a covenant, a nation, and a lineage through which Jesus Christ himself would come from. One act of obedience became part of a much larger story. And that teaches us all something important. You cannot measure your obedience by immediate results. That's not how you can measure it. Because some obedience is being produced in fruit years down the road. Some of your guys' obedience is going to create opportunities that you will never personally witness. Some of your guys' obedience will become the very foundation of someone else's future blessing. If you didn't know, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees way further than we do. Here's the key to obedience. Why God cares about your obedience so much is because he knows what is attached to your obedience. He knows through what your yes and through future generations where that obedience is going to go. He knows. That's why we have to trust. Amen? Amen. See, he sees the family that's going to be restored through your obedience. He sees the people in the future who's going to encounter a healing because of your obedience. He sees the lives that are going to be impacted, the generations that will be impacted through your faithfulness. So don't ever underestimate your obedience simply because the result is not immediate. Let me tell you something about seeds. They don't look so impressive when they first enter the ground. But hidden things still carry a tremendous future harvest. When seeds get planted, it's not the harvest. You gotta wait, right? My third point is obedience requires faith before the full picture is clear. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And that matters because a lot of times people want guarantees from God before they're obedient. But faith doesn't demand full visibility before movement. Faith trusts God enough for the next step. That doesn't mean we get reckless. That doesn't mean we ignore wisdom. But when God has spoken clearly, obedience cannot be dependent upon a perfect understanding. Let me say this again. Your obedience cannot become dependent upon your understanding. Listen to me. Sometimes God is only going to reveal the next step. Sometimes you're going to have to take a step in. Do you hear me? You're going to have to take a step. And the next step is enough. As long as we got the next step, it's enough. Lord, just give me wisdom. Lord, let me hear the next step. I just need to know the next step because maybe if I know more than the next step, I'm going to try to take a step where you didn't want me to take a step, God. I just need to know this next step, Lord. All you need to know is the next step. Stop waiting for a 10-year plan from God to drop down from heaven when he's just trying to tell you, I need you to go right here. I need you right here. Why, Lord? And then somebody passes by who's able, you're able to talk to and witness to. And then he moves you over here and all of a sudden he starts interweaving this beautiful web that he connects together, these divine relationships, these divine connections. And that's why, because you don't need to know why. I'm telling you, sometimes you need to get a little bit more soldier in your spirit and say, yes, sir. How about that? Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. I'll do it because I'm a soldier in the army of the living God. And I just need to know what my instruction is, Lord. I don't need to know the why. Go tell me to do it and I'm ready, Lord. That's the type of obedience that God is looking for. Sometimes God's going to call you to lead before you feel prepared. Ask me if I feel qualified to do this. No, I'll tell you. That's the answer. Did I feel like I was ready for this? No. But you know what? God said yes. And guess what? If God says yes, if he's going to tell me to do it, he's going to equip me. And just the same way that the military works, you don't see soldiers going out to battle without being fully equipped for war. God is not going to leave you out there unequipped. He ain't going to send you into battle without your armor on and no weapons. He's going to give you everything that you need. You can trust that. And when you begin to trust God, he's going to start to give you more instruction. And if you haven't got no instruction, I'm telling you, you might want to go back to where he told you to do something and accomplish that. Because he needs your yes to keep you moving. Amen. See, he's going to call some of you to forgive before your emotions catch up to you. He's going to call some of you to build before the provision appears. Lord, how am I going to do this, God? And he's going to call some of you to step forward while others misunderstand him. But obedience says, Lord, I'm going to trust you beyond what I currently see. That's the kind of faith that changes generations. That's the kind of faith. Because people will often inherit what we're willing to trust God for. Let me tell you. God says we'll inherit cities we didn't build. Come on. Inherit buildings we didn't build. Debt free. Hallelujah. Vineyards you didn't plant. And guess what he said he would do? He said he would even fill the houses up that he would give you. So future generations can inherit these things. But one thing that nobody can inherit is obedience. Your obedience is dependent upon you. Every generation has to say yes to God. Are you willing to give God your yes to model it for the next future generation? Because they can inherit everything that God used through you to build, but they can't inherit that yes. You got to show them why that yes is valuable. See, a lot of us don't realize that somebody built something that they were never personally going to benefit from. You might not ever get to benefit from the thing that you build. This house, when it was being built, God said, once you build it, you got to pass it on and go to the next man. And through selflessness and courageousness and obedience, the man of God said, yes. Here you go, handed it over debt-free to the next guy. God's building, God's property. Stood strong. That is kingdom thinking. That takes a real man of God to do. Because it gets real easy to get possessive over things. Lord, I just built the roof. I just built the building. Lord, I just, you know, you use me. But now, God, I'm not going to be here. But through obedience, could you do that? Could you give up everything that God used to build through you in a moment? He said, you're not going any further. The next man's taking over. Can you trust God like that when it doesn't feel good, when it costs you everything, when you've been invested spiritually, physically, financially in it? That is true stewardship. And see, a lot of times the greatest act of obedience, it happens quietly. Doesn't happen on stages. Doesn't happen preaching in front of crowds. But in hidden moments where someone simply decides, God, I trust you. How many of us knew how this building got here? But we're all sitting in the fruit of it, the obedience. See, those hidden decisions shape lives more than we realize. Because a private surrender eventually will become a public fruit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, please. Obedience grows from glory to glory. Before we read this, we have to understand that Paul is talking about transformation by the Spirit. And this is how obedience occurs. It's by the Spirit. See, he's not talking about self-improvement through some human effort. Let me tell you, if you're trying to manage your obedience through your own effort, you're going to fail. You can't do it. You can't do it. Trust me. If anybody could have done it, Adam and Eve could have done it, and they couldn't do it. And they were a lot more perfect than we are. Amen. See, this matters because Christian obedience is not produced by striving. We have to understand that. It's produced through transformation through the Holy Spirit. God changes people from the inside out. He changes your obedience from the inside out. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But we all, with the unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says something. He says we're being changed. Guess what? You know what that means? That God's still working on us. Hallelujah. So if you're looking at somebody and going, man, you know, they're just changing. You know, we're changing, but it's not changing fast enough. Guess what? God's working on them still. And guess what? God's not on your timetable, and neither are they. So give people a little bit of grace and understanding that God's working through them and for them. And by trusting God, that we can believe what God did for us, God is able to do for another. Amen. And let's support them like brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's not point our finger and look at them and say, why haven't you got there yet? Yeah, God is using all things together for the good. Saying that, grace does not only pardon us, we have to understand it's that grace that's transforming them. That we're being shaped into the image of Christ from glory to glory. That means obedience develops in stages. Stages of what? Stages of maturity. See, the things that God is going to ask you now that you could have never have done in the past. That's showing that you're maturing from glory to glory. See, there are deeper levels. There's deeper levels of surrender, of humility, see, of responsibility. Deeper levels of faithfulness that God is going to require from you. And every level requires one thing. It requires another yes. See, spiritual maturity is not standing still while claiming grace. It's allowing grace to continually shape you. See, some people treat grace as permission to remain unchanged forever. But biblical grace transforms your desires. The grace forgives the sinner. The grace begins then forming the son and daughter. See, grace meets you in your weakness. But grace will also teach you how to walk differently. At one level, obedience may be just leaving sin behind. But at another level, God's asking you to step into a calling. And at another level, God's going to ask you to help carry someone else. Did you know it's not about you, your obedience? Like I said, this is all about the future generations and the people around you. So I love it that an apple tree doesn't eat apples. A fruit tree don't eat its own fruit. Amen. It's for everybody else. So get this idea out of you that this is all about you. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not all about you. This is about the kingdom, amen? This is kingdom business. We come to serve, not to be served. We want to model what Jesus does. We want to be shaped into his image. You have to be a servant. Yes. See, but then after that, your obedience may require you to endure hardship faithfully without losing trust in God. Some things I haven't seen restoration in all areas of my life, but I trust God. Trust God for it. Things that could cripple people. I'm talking about crippling things. It crippled me for a long time. Destroyed me, wrecked me. It was an excuse that I used. But I trust God now. He's going to use all things together for the good because I love him and I know I'm called according to his purpose. You got to trust that. You got to be obedient in that. That's maturity. See, maturity asks a different question. Not only what God can do for me, but God, what can you do through me? Hallelujah. What do you want to do through me? Because transformation is not about a personal blessing. It's about becoming usable in the hands of God. My fourth point is obedience matures as we are being transformed. See, there's new levels in God. New levels. There's not new levels of salvation, though. There's new levels of surrender. See, but we can never outgrow grace. See, grace continues leading us into deeper faithfulness. We move from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and every season requires fresh obedience. I'm sorry to tell you, but you can't live off of yesterday's yes. You can't live off of last week's yes. Yesterday's yes mattered. But God's speaking today. And guess what? He's going to speak again tomorrow. And every generation has to hear them for themselves. Every generation has to decide whether they will obey. That one generation may plant seeds, but the next generation still has to cultivate the field. That one generation may open doors, but the next generation still has to faithfully walk through them. One generation may be able to build the foundation, but the next generation has to continue to build. Guess what? Every person here, no matter what generation you're in, you're being called to build. That means that we honor past obedience by remaining faithful in your own generation. Whichever generation you're in, this is how you honor it. Not simply celebrating what others did. We can't do that. But by continuing the work. And when obedience continues across generation, it becomes more than personal growth. It becomes a legacy. And who knows our mission statement here? What's the last thing in pedal? Leave a legacy. It becomes an inheritance. It becomes spiritual stability for a future that people can build upon. That's why growth matters. Because somebody's going to eventually draw strength from the faithfulness that you're developing right now. My fifth point is obedience becomes a gift to people that you're never going to meet. This is where everything comes together. Obedience isn't about personal blessing. It's about a kingdom responsibility. That God blesses you so you can become a blessing. Amen? Yeah. That when you obey, that you may be planting something that you're never going to see fully mature. So be okay with it. Don't try to possess it. Don't try to own what God is doing through you. You may be creating space for someone else's healing and building stability for the future generations. You may be helping break cycles that would have continued without your surrender. You're showing children what genuine devotion looks like and helping another believer understand what courage is by watching your consistency. That's why obedience matters. God is giving each of you an assignment. God is asking you to steward, and God is giving you responsibility. And love eventually responds to a responsibility. A mature believer doesn't ask, how much can I compromise and still stay saved? Love asks a different question. Lord, what pleases you, God? Lord, how are you trying to shape me, Lord? How can my life reflect yours? And how can I be more faithful what you entrusted to me? Listen, we will always need grace. But grace should produce growth. Not only through worship songs, but through our life. Can I get my worship team up here, please? There's something powerful about tracing the line of obedience. One person answered, another person carried what was handed to them faithfully, another person stepped through the door, and obedience helped open the door. This is how it works through generations. I'm telling you that your yes will outlive you. Be okay with it. It's okay. You're going to plant seeds that another man will water, but I'm telling you, God will cause an increase. Yes. Your obedience matters. It matters. Guess what? Someone you don't even know, 60 years later, you're going to plant a seed and they're going to be standing underneath the shade of that tree that you planted for generations. So every single opportunity that God gives you, I would advise you to try to take advantage of it. Because it matters. Even when you don't think it matters, guess what? God doesn't require your permission or your understanding to operate. It doesn't have to matter to you if it matters to God. Trust me, I never thought in a million years that God would be able to do what I've seen him do with all of us. Amen? Amen. Your own personal history should reveal to you how incredible God truly is. Come on. How many stories do we got in here about what God has done? Miracles, amen? Wonderful stories of transformation that occurred through obedience, that occurred through a yes. Listen, God will let you inherit cities you didn't build. He'll give you vineyards that you didn't plant. But every single generation is going to require yes. The next yes. So can you model it? Can you show somebody else what that looks like in a season that's difficult? Understanding that there's something connected to it that you may never get to see, that you may never get to walk into, but God is trying to bless the future generations through your yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, we thank you, God. Stand to your feet for me. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you, God, that you've empowered us to say yes to you, God. That you've strengthened us to say yes, oh God. Father, we thank you that we get an inheritance, Lord. That you've promised an inheritance. And God, I just speak blessings over your people, God. Speak obedience over your people, Father God. That they wouldn't grow weary in well-doing or grow tired in the tough seasons, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Father God, that even when they don't see it, they would trust you. We don't need the 5-year plan. We don't need a 10-year plan. God, just give us our next step. I hope that be our prayer. God, just show me the next step. That's all I need, Lord. God, I ask that you would give them strength and courage to be strong and courageous, because it requires strength and courage. And let me tell you, when God gives you courage, that doesn't mean that fear is absent. He's given you courage to walk through it, trust in him. That's the courage. So don't be surprised when it requires a little courage and a little strength, amen? God will give you that. When things get uncomfortable, guess what? Call on the Comforter, amen? He gave us the Comforter for a reason. So Father God, Lord, I just thank you, God. I thank you for each person here. Strength and courage, God. Lord, I ask that you would take them to greater levels of trust in you, Lord. Greater levels of obedience, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that you know what is connected to our obedience and that you plan to bless future generations in and outside of this house and this community, God, that we give you our yes, Lord. We say thank you, God, for the gift that's connected to it. If you're having a hard time with obedience or trust, or you're struggling with understanding what God is doing in your life, I'd ask the altar team come up and that you'd get some prayer. That you allow us to pray with you, come into an agreement that we would come into, that God would begin to reveal himself, that you would begin to see him, that you would be able to trust him, that you would be able to know him on deeper levels, and that you would take a leap of faith and say yes, amen. If you just need prayer for struggling or anything, come on up. This time's for you. I love you guys. Let's worship.